Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to the show. Bill Arnold here once again, projecting a professional image. Some days I feel like I am uniquely unqualified for most jobs. But I've had a good day. It's been productive. I did some cleaning today. I'll give you a free cleaning tip. This is no charge. The more stuff you leave on the floor, the less vacuuming you have to do. I think that's a good tip. Now, we've got a great show. We've got coming up Reverend Samuel Rodriguez is going to be with us, and he has written a book called Shake Free, and he is head of the National Conference for Hispanics, about 40,000 members, and I wished I had one-eighth of his energy and optimism and enthusiasm. You are going to absolutely love him. I had a chance to talk to him yesterday. He's got a very busy schedule, and also Dr. Steve Green is with us, and he's written a book as well called Love Leads. And if you're in leadership, you want to lead with love. That's always the key, leading with love. So that's our show, the first hour. It's going to be great. You know on this show I love Scripture, and I also want to be praying for all the people in Annapolis, Maryland right now. At a newspaper, there's an active shooting, and I think there's already four dead. I think they have someone in custody, but I do want to pray for them as well. Heavenly Father, please give the people at this newspaper strength and courage for what's going on right now and all the loss that's that they're dealing with. In your son's name, amen. Now, I'd like to go to a piece of scripture and then come back, and we'll have Reverend Samuel Rodriguez.
Let me give you Romans 8:11 in Spanish. El mismo espíritu que resucitó a Jesús de los muertos es el mismo espíritu que habita adentro de cada uno de nosotros.
Your prayers matter and are heard by God. When you pray, lives can be changed. Each week, the Faith Radio Prayer Team joins together to pray for relationships to be strengthened, finances to be increased for God's glory, for our leaders to follow God's will, and for so much more. Will you join us? The Faith Radio Prayer Team, made up of hundreds of listeners, receives an email with each week's prayer focus. You can be a part of the Faith Radio Prayer Team by signing up at myfaithradio.com.
What we have done in the past doesn't define or nullify who we are in Christ. Best-selling author Lisa Bevere writes about this in her book, Adamant, Finding Truth in a Universe of Opinions. She points to Revelation 2:17, which says, as followers of Christ, we will be given a new name written on a white stone. A name where our past failures and shortcomings don't define us, and a name that is eternally secure. Hear more from Lisa Bevere and find a link for her book at myfaithradio.com.
Show. Awfully glad you're with me today. Pastor Sam Rodriguez is the president of the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference and senior pastor of New Season Church in Sacramento, California. He's written a book called Shake Free, How to Deal with the Storms, Shipwrecks, and Snakes in Your Life. He's kind of a big deal. I'm awfully excited to have him on the show. How are you, Sam?
Man, I'm great. Thank you for having me. Honored indeed.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, the Paul's great sea journey that ended up in a shipwreck is a great passage that we can all learn from, isn't it?
What a meta-narrative indeed. Here's Paul on his way to Rome. He has a God-given assignment, Acts 23:11, to take the gospel message to the most important city of his time, Rome. And on his way to Rome, he experiences a nor'easter, a shipwreck. And then subsequently, he has a viper that jumps out of the fire and attaches to his hand.
This is a bad day.
I mean, it goes from bad to worse. A bad day, hashtag bad day on steroids.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so we are looking at this life storm as something that we're all going to encounter. This is not a matter of if for any of us. It's a matter of when.
We all go through storms. I don't know of one single human being, in one way or another, it could be a relational, health-related, family-related, financial, in our faith walk. We all go through a moment of angst, consternation, and flux, all of us. It's part of this thing we call humanity, life's journey. And indeed, but the X factor is his commitment to Christ, his commitment to the centrality of Christ, to God's promises, and he overcame the nor'easter, he overcame the shipwreck, which was a loss, and he shook off the snakes. He made it to Rome, and to a great degree, you and I are having this conversation because he made it to Rome in spite of what he went through.
Mm-hmm. Sam, you had a shipwreck feeling experience early on with one of your children, Yvonne. Maybe you would share with our listeners some of that.
Indeed. Again, all of us go through storms. My shipwreck or my storm experience, probably the quintessential storm experience of my life, was when I came back from speaking in a foreign country, and my sister came from the Dominican Republic from a missions trip. We both came from different countries. My sister somehow transferred or transmitted a virus over to my daughter, Yvonne. She was a child, very young back then. And my daughter, Yvonne, found herself in a hospital room. I flew in from a conference, found her. The doctors looked at me and said, she's not doing well. Matter of fact, we're not sure she's going to make it. And when you hear that your child may not make it, it's the worst news on the planet. I mean, it can't get worse than that. And again, I went through my storm. I remember just praying, walking out the hospital room, seeing my baby girl with the IVs, and her fever had reached 105, 106. They couldn't do anything to bring it down. The CDC from Atlanta came up. It was that kind of thing. And I just said, God, I am believing your promises. They are yes and amen, 2 Corinthians 1:20. I am believing that there's destiny for her life, for our lives, and I'm not letting go. And I'm gonna. This is terrible. It's horrific. It's painful. But somehow I'm holding on to you. And by the grace of God, she pulled out of it, and we pulled out of it together. But it was a learning experience. Faith is trusting God when life makes no sense.
Sam, that story is so hard to listen to. Obviously, you were utterly dependent on God in the most severe way. I don't know how else to say it, but your desperation was at a 10, wasn't it?
It would be 10 plus.
Yeah.
There was no other recourse. And even the doctors looked at me and said, look, we've tried everything. And, we, you know, it's a very rare virus. Hence, the CDC came up. But it was God or nothing. It was God or nothing. The Apostle Paul went through the same experience. When, you know, the Bible says in Acts 27, in the Greek exegete, meaning if you extrapolate from the original language, the verbiage, it's very powerful. It says that day he was on this prison ship to Rome, and they suffered a nor'easter. But the people that were in charge of the ship decided to lower the anchor in the midst of the storm, to be driven by the storm because of fear. We are all driven people. Each and every one of us, we're either driven by fear or by faith. We're driven by dreams or nightmares, by the past or the future. We're driven by the flesh or the spirit. We are all driven people by belief or unbelief, and by hatred or love. We are all driven people. And I have made a decision in my life, in light of everything I've been through, I am never going to lower my anchor until I reach my destination. Regardless of the storm, the hurricane, the nor'easter, the shipwreck, don't lower your anchor until you reach your destination. And if any of your listeners have lowered their anchor because of something they went through, it's the grace-filled work of the Lord that enables them to raise the anchor once again and to continue on their journey to make it to their proverbial and spiritual Rome.
Sam, let's talk a little bit about fear, because that's everybody that's listening, including the host behind the microphone right now, because we do have feelings that are not rational many times, and we need to figure out a way to speak truth into our hearts. I mean, Jesus always responded with thinking first, didn't he?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. It's the head, the heart, and the hand. It's the head, the heart, and the hand. And meaning, it's the thinking, it's the cognitive process, it's the renewing of the mind daily, as the Apostle Paul would admonish us to do. But it is a thinking process indeed. And we have to repudiate in every single vestige of fear that attacks this cerebral cortex, this gray matter. It's the battlefield of our humanity is the mind. And if we can somehow firewall the mind with the Word of God, with the promises of God, with the Spirit of God, and there is a spiritual dynamic to it that cannot and will not be denied. But if we can firewall our thinking process, subsequently our actions will follow suit. And so it begins there. Don't lower your anchor. You know, renew your mind daily. Put on the armor of God. Grow in God's word. Hold on to his promises. Every single day, take every thought. Again, the Apostle Paul, same person. Take every thought into captivity, which means get a hold of your mind. Do not permit one iota, one thought to go in there that has the potential of obstructing the fulfillment of God's purpose in your life, if you permit it. Indeed, it begins with the mind, and it works down to the heart and then to the hand.
I love it. All right, we're speaking to Reverend Samuel Rodriguez. His book is Shake Free, How to Deal with the Storms, Shipwrecks, and Snakes in Your Life. We'll take a very short break and be back with more in just a minute. To the show, we have on our studio line Reverend Samuel Rodriguez. He's written a book called Shake Free, we're talking about, and it's how to deal with the storms, shipwrecks, and snakes in your life. And I think sometimes, Sam, we have such bad memories. We forget how far God has brought us, regardless of our circumstances. And we have to always be reminded of God's faithfulness along the way, even when our ship has crashed.
What an amazing – this has to be a movie. It really has to be a movie. We have to do a modern-day 21st century version of the Paul narrative in 21st century context. He suffers a storm, and they lower their anchor. The ship is battered. It's falling apart. All of a sudden, everyone's panicking on board, and it's not a Norwegian cruise line. It's not the Royal Caribbean. It's a prison ship. And all of a sudden, God tells Paul, hey, Paul, here it is. I have good news and bad news. Here's let me give you the bad news first. The ship you're on, it will not make it. The good news is you will. And everyone else on the ship will, but the ship will not. It doesn't make any logical sense. How in the world are we going to make it without the ship? And sometimes in life, we put the proverbial eggs in the basket of dependency where we think that relationship or that job, that career, that resource, that idea will be the ship, quote unquote, that will take us to our Rome, quote unquote. And all of a sudden God says, you're putting too much on the ship. You're depending too much on the delivery mechanism rather than the deliverer himself.
I love it.
And he lost the ship, but he still made it. How many of us have lost something? You know, if there are people in your audience who unfortunately may have been through a divorce, or they lost a loved one, or they lost an income revenue stream. Mm-hmm. They lost something. But even without that loss, even in spite of that loss, better yet, your destiny is not over. Your God-ordained purpose and plan is not over. You're going to make it even without that ship. If you're in Christ and Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you will make it to your Rome.
I love it. Now, Sam, you said the X factor is the centrality of Christ. What does that look like?
Oh, that's the centrality of Christ, not just, you know, ambiguous religious constructs or ideology,
right,
but the fullness of the centrality of Christ. It's Christ. John 14:6, Christ being the way, not a way, but being the way, the truth, and the life. That is a personal relationship with Jesus, understanding and embracing the fact that he died on the cross, he resurrected for the forgiveness of our sins, he ascended, he sent us his Holy Spirit so we can live a life that is abundant, John 10:10, a victorious life, 1 Corinthians 15:57, centrality of Christ, where Christ is all that matters. The same Apostle Paul right now, he actually stated Christ, It is all that matters. And when we are rooted in him, when we are completely rooted in him, 1 Corinthians 3:11, then we grow every single day in him, with him, and through him. So, yeah, it becomes the centrality of Christ. You wake up in the morning, you really are, in a good way, positive way, in a healthy way, obsessed with living out the purpose of Christ, with sharing Christ through your actions, words, deeds, and thoughts, through living out a life that's reflective of the grace-filled work of Jesus. So it is the centrality of Christ. It's not just attending church on Sunday and hearing a sermon. It's living out the gospel message every single day of your life.
I love it. Sam, talk a little bit about how when we're faced with life's challenges or we've got we're suffering from the disappointment of unmet expectations or just other pains from loss in life, how we can sort of, like your book says, shake free and break through to live with joy.
It requires intentionality, resilience, perseverance, but it requires understanding that one of the greatest powers that we have as human beings created in the image of God, and now even moreover, when we are born again, when we have that personal relationship with Jesus, we have a power to shake free. We can literally shake off the things that emerge for the purpose of poisoning our dreams and strangling our destinies. We are what we tolerate. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. When we become complacent in circumstances, when we tolerate circumstances or obstructions that run counter to God's will in our lives, then we begin to emerge defined by the very things outside of us. We have the power to shake things from us, to shake off fear and unbelief, be it spiritual attacks, be it ideas, constructs that run counter to who Christ is in us and through us. We have that power. We have power in the name of Jesus. We have power to shake free. So we need to acknowledge that, believe that. It is a God-ordained power. Romans 8:11, one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture, the same identical spirit, not a derivative spirit, not a clone, not a kindred spirit, not a tangential spirit, but the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. Boy, that should just prompt you to say, yes, I have the ability to shake off this thing that came to hinder my path and my pursuit of joy in Christ.
Wow, that's high-octane wisdom, Sam. Let me ask you this. How do we sort of transcend the reactionary environment right now? I mean, learning to trust versus worry or rage or other knee-jerk responses we might have.
Yeah, indeed. Consternation, angst, worry, we need to have the peace that passeth all understanding. And we need to serve as a countercultural narrative to our current reality around us. This world is full of darkness. It's full of division, discord. It's full of unbelievable hyper-rhetoric. And it's filled with unbridled victimization mindset. Everyone seems to be a victim somehow, somewhere. There's a hashtag for everything. Some of them are legitimate, of course. Some of them are not. And some of them are exploited for political purposes. What do we do as Christ followers? We must emerge as love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, goodness, gentleness, temperance, mercy, and faith, which means people exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. We have to emerge as a counterculture narrative. The world is dark. We must be light. The world is chaos. We must be order. The world is full of hatred. We must be love. The world is full of moral relativism. We must be biblical truth on absolutes that never must be sacrificed on the altar of political, cultural, or sexual expediency. We must be an alternative to the melees currently experienced around the world.
Wow, that's just well said, Sam. Let me ask you about God's timing and how his provisions and how when we wait upon the Lord, we never cease to be amazed at how he operates.
No, and his timing, again, we have to believe that he knows this God, this architect of the universe, he is privy to data and information that we're not privy to. And being the, you know, being the Alpha and the Omega, I'm a Trekkie. I'm an evangelical Trekkie. Okay. So I grew up with the old version, the old William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy version of Star Trek.
Right.
Anything other is sacrilegious. But, you know, this whole, you know, temporal reality, space-time continuum, we have a God that functions within and outside the confines of what we deem and interpret to be time. This God of ours, it's amazing. He really is. Look at the universe. I mean, just look at the construct of the universe, which means we have to trust him. The idea is his timing really outweighs and exceeds our understanding and even our sense of desperation. This is where faith kicks in again, because many of us want to understand God, and God is really not interested in us understanding him, but us trusting him. It's about trusting God.
Yeah.
Not understanding him. Sometimes we have to trust even when we do not understand.
Mm-hmm.
We need to trust. And that, my friend, is called faith.
Yeah. Sam, talk a little bit about doubt and how that can be a destroyer of destiny.
I believe the two primary destroyers, and I wrote about it in the book, of destiny are unbelief, which is doubt, and unforgiveness. Unbelief, doubt. The moment we begin to doubt, any angst, any hesitation, we say, but we are human beings. We're going to doubt. Well, no, we have the power again through the Spirit of Christ in us to do away with every vestige of doubt. And that's where we have to, you know, we have to speak to ourselves and say, do not permit that. Do not doubt. Trust God. So we really have to address the issue of doubt, unbelief. Even if it's minute, that 1% unbelief may very well hinder the outcome. And that's where we have to believe, by the way. You asked before, but the God of the process is the God of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And the process may be temporary, but the promise is permanent. He
yeah.
is the same identical God, only if we deal with the issue of doubt.
Yeah. Sam, I don't know if you're trying to be encouraging, but you really are encouraging. And I have to ask, are there days when you get up and you feel a little bit beat up and a little bit quite so enthusiastic?
No, there are days, be it a travel schedule or whatever
sure.
it may be, but that's where, again, you have to hold on to the word. That's where you shake things off in your heart, your mind. That's where you engage in your spiritual regimen and discipline and exercise of kneeling down and praying and meditation and calling upon the name of the Lord and really being filled afresh with God's Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We have a mighty God who loves us. He really loves us, that if we pray and speak to him, he answers and responds. And so, you know, enjoy God, enjoy life. I remember a tipping point in my life where I went from God bless me to make me the greatest blessing to everyone I know. And if you wake up every single day,
mm-hmm.
ask, you know, pivot from God answer my prayer to, hey, God, make me the answer to someone else's prayer today.
Mm.
And I assure you, you will live happily ever after.
Oh, I bet. Sam, you've been an absolute gift to me and to my listeners. Thank you so much. Your book is Shake Free, How to Deal with the Storms, Shipwrecks, and Snakes in Your Life. Samuel Rodriguez has been my guest. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You know, relationships in life are important, aren't they? And as Jason Benham says, a relationship with the Lord is vital. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and Jason shares just what he means by that.
I think the issue is with most young kids and a lot of adults today is they see Christianity as a religion. But with relationship, it's actually like a real life relationship that you have with a human, which means the more time you spend with that person, the deeper you grow in the knowledge of that person.
And as it is in our relationships with other people, so it is in our relationship with God.
And in time, you just begin to grow and develop. It's like, I know my wife. I don't always understand her, but I know her. You know, it's the same way with our Christian walk. So we have to be in the scripture every single day, seeing what the Father is doing.
Maybe you want to know more about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to makingyourlifecount.com.
Welcome back to the show. This next topic has me very excited. Dr. Steve Green has written a book called Love Leads, and the spiritual connection between your relationships and productivity. And I'm fascinated by this idea, and I want to hear more about it. He's on our studio line right now. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Bill. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah. So I love this idea. If God is love and I have not love, how am I going to lead?
How about that first line of a book, huh?
I love it. I love it.
Well, you know, what I believe is that this should be fairly easy to figure out. You know, that's why this book to me was a must write,
mm-hmm.
because I felt, you know, I didn't have a need to write a book. I wasn't compelled to. I ended up figuring out I was called to do it, and I should do it. But we've all had those leaders where you wonder, you know, and they're good Christian leaders. They try hard, but yet you see the volatility. You see the yelling, screaming, pounding of a desk. And you know those two things are mutually exclusive in the kingdom. You know, we just wouldn't act that way. And so we've got to really define how leaders behave and how we act in order to expect anyone to follow us. And no one likes to follow the rant and the rave. And I just don't believe that. I mean, that was my life. You know, I'm older, and I served under a lot of tyranny. You know, many of us that are listening out there probably have had the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I really felt like if we could lead with love, if we could define that and understand it, the role model would be God. If God loves us, that's how we're supposed to lead.
Yeah. All right, Steve, I'll throw my one fastball that I have when it comes to leadership, and that's this. The Wicked Witch of
the
West.
The twins throw fastballs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the twins do throw fastballs.
Checking.
Yeah, yeah.
They do? Okay.
Yeah. The Wicked...
They sure get hit out of a park a lot.
It's exactly true. All right. The Wicked Witch of the West. She had everyone's approval, but no one's love. So when Dorothy melted her bony fingers, the response was, "Hail Dorothy."
Yes. How many employees do you think would have the same response to their wicked leadership?
Oh, many.
Sometimes leaders get exited out of the door. Sometimes they're the current leadership, and they have to exit. Someone comes and gets them and makes them pack up their box, and they go away. And there a tear is shed. That people are just glad to see the oppression leave. And sometimes while you can see the effectiveness, you know, Wicked Witch was pretty effective.
She was.
She bought a lot of things, but never used it to care for people, to help people, to make anyone better within her broom's width.
Right.
She did everything she could to tear down people. And those folks, we like to see leave.
I agree. Now, I can handle tough love as long as I know there's some measure of real love behind it.
Right. Tough love is misunderstood. You know, tough love can be delivered very softly without the need to. What people don't like is being humiliated, being talked to like an animal,
mm-hmm.
being disrespected. So I would say that if you were to interview most of my team, both as a college professor at Oral Roberts University and the years that I was dean there, pick any place that I stopped along the way over 30, 35 years, and you'll find people that said I was a tough leader. But I had the respect of the team. Even my team here will never say that they ever feel disrespected or that I've ever threatened their future. Where evil managers, in my opinion, use this fear of security approach. Like, if you don't do it, I'll get somebody that will.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, that just limits people, and it makes them stay awake at night and makes them fearful. Our job is to make everyone feel secure enough to make mistakes. I want to require my team to make mistakes. I know we'll get better. I know we'll grow as long as we're making mistakes. If my team is full of fear and afraid to move, afraid to act, we're not going to get anything done.
I agree. Now, Steve, if you're going to be able to influence somebody, you're the boss and you want to influence somebody, what's one of the first steps? And maybe people are driving in their car right now, heading home from work, and they're frustrated that they can't get their employees to do what they want. And they're hearing this conversation we're having, and they're thinking, I never thought about this love angle. Maybe I need to actually love my employees. How do I make my first step towards that?
Well, the first step is to open up better communication. Most people who don't lead with love are tellers, and they're not askers. That I believe that managers are hired to tell, to carry the mail. Leaders ask questions. Managers make statements. So the first thing I want to do, for example, when I came into this new place, I've been here 3.5 years now. When I walked in for the first time, it was a long time before I made a statement at all. I asked a lot of questions. I encouraged people to talk to me. Tell me what's good. Tell me what's bad. What do I need to look at? And I took on a season of listening. And so I built rapport with my team and trust before I came in saying, there's a new sheriff in town, and we're going to get to work right now, and you know, I sure hope you make it. I make everybody feel secure from day one. Their security depends upon their performance. You know, that's the tough part. You still have to perform. But that performance is aided by the leader, not hindered or intimidated. Influence comes because I care about you. When I demonstrate how much I care about everyone on the team, one at a time, not one en masse, but in individual meetings, taking people to, you know, coffee or lunches, just whatever it takes to have a position in their life, have someone that they don't go home thinking about and dreading seeing when they wake up in the morning. I never want to be like when my dad came home, I was afraid. You know, I was scared because I was going to get disciplined and something bad was going to happen. I look forward to him not coming home. Isn't that terrible?
That is bad.
But
yeah.
What a great training ground that was. He didn't mean it. He was just a strong Navy disciplinarian.
Yeah.
He didn't mean to cause me harm or to hold me back, but he didn't know better. He didn't have training. He did the best he could. But now, as a leader, I'm required to be trained to keep growing and studying and reading and trying to understand how to, first of all, let those folks influence me so that I can in turn influence them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Stephen, your book, there's so many things I want to chew on with you. One is leader love finds ways to sacrifice anything other than people who are doing the work of the organization.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit, because there's going to be some bad apples that just need to go, right?
Well, they go. So I don't want to sacrifice people that are doing the job and getting things done, or under economic duress, make every cut I can before we get to people.
Right. Okay.
And then the way I do it, I've had to make cuts in every building I've been in, but the way we do it is through attrition. And I try not to replace people when they quit, or you know, they move on for whatever reason, or they, you know, sometimes I sit in front of them and say, listen, you're not happy, I'm not happy, let's both get happy. You know, you don't belong here. It's not a fit for you. You hate this. Is that right? Correct me if I'm wrong. I've never let someone leave the company that didn't know that it was the right thing to do. They almost asked for it.
Wow.
Nobody likes the finality of that moment. But I have never surprised anyone with a dismissal. They've never been surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Because we work up to it. We coach. I coach until it's time to go. I will coach you walking down the hall, provide advice, try to help you get a job. You know, other than lying, cheating, stealing, if those are the offenses, it's a little hard to support them. But I still can treat them with respect and give them opportunities to start over again, like Jesus gives me every day a chance to start over.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be error-free.
Yeah.
But, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep trying to get better. I never want to surprise someone with a dismissal. But sometimes there are other ways of letting people go that will just be natural and a little easier. Takes longer, but I'm willing to do that to maintain self-esteem of the worker.
Yeah. Steve, talk a little bit more about the listening component of leaders. I mean, I always think, and I don't know if you like this statement or not, but if I want to be a person of influence, I think I have to be a person willing to be influenced. And I think that comes by listening.
Yes. To be influenced by behavior, too. I mean, there's a lot of nonverbals that managers send. No eye contact. How about this kind of leader that gives silent treatment? Ever had one of those?
Oh, no, I haven't actually.
You don't know what you did?
No.
Have you?
No, I haven't actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
It happens. There's some people that are listening to this show that say, yeah, I got one right now that's not speaking to me.
Yeah. I'm hardcore unemployable, Steve. I've been self-employed most of my life.
Well, that does make a difference.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are people in our lives sometimes that are not speaking to us as a nonverbal way of saying, I don't approve, I don't like, and I'm going to punish you with my
phone. Ooh, that's the worst.
So,
because they freeze you out,
you
and that's
know
the worst.
What you did right.
Right.
You don't know what you did wrong.
Oh, that's terrible.
So I want to come back to your question, though, or to your comment, and say that influence comes because I do listen. You know what? I've never worked with a leader or a manager that I've tried to coach saying when I've asked someone, do you feel like you're a good listener? I've never been told no. Not one person that I've coached, and we're talking about a few thousand over seminars and hand-to-hand combat mm-hmm. with leaders. I don't think I know that no one has ever said that I'm a bad listener, because we all think we are. In my case, sometimes I listen fast, and I've got to slow it down because I've got an answer ready to go. And one of the things I've got to do is sit on my own self and be quiet long enough to let someone finish. My wife taught me this lesson pretty well. We've been married 45 years, and she continues to remind me when I'm going too fast in my response. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She's thinking I'm talking before she's done talking.
Yeah. It seems like in communication today, we oftentimes just carry on parallel monologues. I'm not listening to you. I'm just waiting for you to be done talking so I can start talking.
Right. And what happens there is that you think people don't know that?
They do know that.
The person on the other side of the desk from me that I'm fake listening to?
Oh, yeah.
They're on to me in about the first 3 minutes. They
right.
feel it.
Totally.
And if we're dealing with Christians and spiritual leaders, you know, the spiritual download on that, it comes very quickly. You know, I catch that you're not engaged with me. You're not wanting to be here or listen to me. You're almost dismissing me by making me think that you're listening.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, can I just set the record straight right now? I am not fake listening to you right now, just so you know.
Well, good. I can't see your eyes, so I think you're 100% tuned in.
Uh-huh. All right. Love does, and it acts consistently, doesn't it?
Don't we wish we could all be more?
Oh, do I ever.
As a parent, you know, now I'm into grandparenting, and I've got a wide range of ages in my grandchildren, and I really try to be consistent with them. They know what they're going to get, because I don't know that I was consistent enough for my kids. I could do okay. Both my children are in church, and they're raising their kids in church, and I see good fruit, but I also have memories of bad times when I didn't behave right, and I wasn't consistent. I had a bad day at the office, or I was impetuous for some reason, or cranky. You know, we just can't do that and lead. We're responsible for our behavior. We're responsible for not having a bad day at the expense of someone else. You want to lose influence quickly? Have a bad day.
I know.
You don't need to have three or four of them.
No. You can create a lot of damage in one day, can't you, Steve?
You sure can.
Yeah.
And it's been another 4 or 5 years trying to get your influence back. Your
I know. Steve, let me take a break. I'm speaking to Dr. Steve Green. He's written a book called Love Leads, The Spiritual Connection Between Your Relationships and Productivity. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back. I am enjoying a conversation with Dr. Steve Green. He has written a book called Love Leads, and that's the spiritual connection between your relationships and productivity. And if God is love and I have not love, how shall I lead? That's the big question we're talking about today. Steve, Walt Hendrickson is an old navigator from Colorado Springs, was a guy that I had quite a bit of contact with, a little bit of Bible study and mentoring from him. And he wrote this, and I love this. He said, God makes you an incredible offer. You can give your life in exchange for the same thing for which Jesus spent his life, people. People last forever.
How good is that?
Oh, I love it. Because if you're going to be in leadership and you're going to have an influence on people, isn't loving them got to be right up number one?
I think it is number one. It's one and all. It's totally complete. It answers, you know, the reverse answer to that question, what if I don't love, how shall I lead? We can see it. We can observe it in people who don't. We see what happens. You know, and the effect is detrimental. People lose self-image. They lose the desire to work. They become defeated. They quit. Some commit suicide.
Mm.
Some leaders have been so abusive that, you know, people need money and they need their job. And they just get to that point where they don't see hope. They don't see a way out. You want to be a leader that causes that. I don't know that you could ever get over it. But still, we have to lead with those words of life. We've got to make sure that everything that we give to our team, and there's nothing about me that's soft or weak. You know, I expect results, and I want to get them. But I coach those results. I don't hate my team into getting them. We love them. We influence them. We build them up. We edify them in such a way that they want to perform. Most of the time, they're not performing because we're not training. We haven't done a good enough job of teaching what it is to do a good job.
Mm. Interesting. Now, Steve, if I'm the boss, let's just say I am for sake of the conversation, and I think I know everything, and it's my company, and it's my way or the highway. Sure, I love you people. Now get to work.
Right.
What?
proof is in action, sir.
All right. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know, but that boss, I'm going to say, you know, we're going to see. You won't have to tell me you love me. We do a lot around here. It is not gushy, mushy, romantic
love. Right.
It's spiritual. But we don't do it without actions to support it. Just like kids, you know, we can tell our kids we love them and then treat them like dirt. It just doesn't, there's a cacophony there.
Mm-hmm.
Disconnect. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Kids smell it. And they turn into millennials and get skeptical.
Yeah.
They just get to that age where they don't believe anything anyone tells them. They're skeptical.
Yeah. I always love anyone that uses the word cacophony, too. That always kind of excites me.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
I've got a couple more for you.
Good, good.
I can drop it again.
Okay. All right, Steve, I want to know how leading with love is expressed, how it looks and how it doesn't look. I mean, we're living in a pretty volatile work environment today.
Yes. You know, touching is pretty much off limits.
Always has been.
Yep. You know, not appropriate. You know, pat somebody on the back.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
I can with a guy. At ORU, we had side hugs. You know,
sure.
When I was at the university, I could side hug carefully and with witnesses, certainly not with my door closed in my office.
Right.
But, you know, they're in this day and age, people are looking for anything.
Right.
And so I'm not even comfortable with a side hug anymore.
Okay.
You know, I just feel if I pat someone on the back, I've got to, like, explain that.
Okay.
You know, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, shoulder touch. I'm expressive that way. I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
But, man, this day and age has scared the hug right out of me. But here's what I can do for you. Here's how I can hug you. And that's to make sure. Here's the ultimate evaluation of a leader. And this is why I think everyone tuned in to hear this show today is to hear this. That is your legacy, your gift to your team is that you made them better. And every person that you've come under the opportunity to influence, to lead, can say, I'm better because this person was in my life. They helped me. I'm better. I've grown. They've done something for me. Hugs are nice, but the action that matters most is how I grow you, position you for leadership, position you for promotion. They'll point to me. And over my years, I can point to it. I can see the folks that will be my legacy. That won't be my building or my profit and loss statement. It'll be the people that I've influenced to a point where they grew, got promoted, and have a better life because of it.
Mm-hmm. Steve, how is it that offering somebody encouragement, which costs nothing and it's so easy to do, seems to be something that's so difficult for leaders to do?
And isn't that something?
Yes.
You know,
I'm baffled by that.
There's a disconnect there, brother. That's just why my words, it's almost like honor. It costs me money. It must cost a lot of money to give someone honor, to stand up when a woman comes in a room, or to stand up when a leader comes in the room that deserves to be honored, sort of European style,
mm-hmm.
like students stand up in their classroom when their teacher comes in. I love to give honor, but I love also to encourage that there's plenty of room to give correction. I always got time for that, right? But it seems like I'm too busy to stop and catch someone doing something right. Give words of life, not words of death. I ask myself, I try to filter, am I giving words of life, or this thing I'm about to say, is that going to hurt and cause them to come down? Will I hinder their day? Will they go home saying I've had a bad day? I don't want to do that. I don't come to work to hurt people.
Yeah. Now, Steve, before our interview, I did a little bit of research on you and came across a TV show you did. And found out that you and I have something in common that I'm gonna love talking about, and that is one of the great examples of leadership, none other than our friend Andy Griffith.
Oh my goodness! If you ever need a laboratory of observing a leader, first get a good study done on Deputy Five. Watch Deputy Five show you how not to lead, and then watch the reverse image of Andy trying to show Barney, you don't have to get upset about this. You don't have to go do Barney.
Right.
You know, he did so much. He needed that secure. He was so insecure. He was raised insecure. You could see it in him. And as the show progressed, you saw less and less of his insecurity. He almost grew because he was around Andy so much. But Andy, when Andy walked down the street, everyone loved him, spoke with him, not about, "Oh, Sheriff, it's so nice to see you, sir."
Right.
It's, "Hey, Ange.
Yeah.
How you doing? What's going on? Could you judge our pickle contest?"
Right.
But Deputy Fife, when he walked down, they joked about him. They made fun of him.
Right.
They disrespected him. All because of how he treated himself and therefore each other.
Yeah.
What a great show.
Oh, it's a great show. And you know, Andy always said, "I wanted people to respect the badge, not my gun."
That's
right. That's why he never carried a gun. And I thought, you know, he did love everybody and everybody loved him. And that's why there was such little crime in Mayberry.
Well, we saw those episodes where he had to be tough.
Oh, I yeah. And he could bring it.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he could bring it to Barney.
Yeah.
He got frustrated with Barney.
I know he did.
But he loved him.
He did love him.
Tried to make him better, didn't he? He did everything he could to speak words of life to Barney.
Yeah. All right, Steve, we have about a minute and a half left. So let me ask you, do effective leaders, do they confront conflict head on?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
In a heartbeat.
Okay.
Sooner the better. You know what? I never want someone to leave my presence, and then I tell somebody else about their problem.
Mm.
I want them to be so confident in me that I will tell them that they've got spinach in their teeth.
Right.
Have you ever gone to the bathroom and seen a green flag waving back at you in your teeth, and you wonder about, why didn't somebody tell me?
Yeah.
Our job as leaders is to tell people what they need to hear and move on.
Yeah, yeah. I find your book interesting, fascinating. I love the concept because when leaders love, I know for me in my work environment, the leaders here love me, and I hope they're not faking it, but I sure feel it, and it makes a huge difference. Makes a huge difference.
You know the difference, don't you, Bill?
Oh, do I ever.
You've got a great show. I appreciate the work you're doing for the kingdom. I hope we continue to have a relationship that we started here with this book.
I agree. Well, we love baseball, and we love Andy Griffith, so I think we're in a good place.
We're in good shape.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much, Steve. Have a great day. Awfully nice of Steve Green, and I love the fact that we had a lot in common with Andy Griffith and baseball. I'm excited for the game tonight. I love watching baseball. Anyway, we've got a great second hour coming up. John Bloom from Desiring God is in studio, and of course, that always means we're going to have a very interesting conversation. And if you have a question for John, we would be willing to take it. And by that, I mean he will take it, not me, because I don't take questions when it comes to difficult questions. And I always pass that to my guests. So you can call with questions, 877-933-2484 would be the number to call. And you also can email me if you just assume not be on the air. I get that too. If you're a little on the shy side and would rather just have me ask the question, you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. Yesterday, when Professor Mark Muska was here, the phones lit up with questions about God's Word. And if you have a question for John, I know he would be more than happy to try to answer that. And if you would like to get your voice on this show reading Scripture, please, all you have to do is call our studio line, which is 877-933-2484, and just get into the voicemail and say, "Hey, I just would like to read a verse." And you don't have to even leave your name. You can just say John 3:16 and read it, and then we'll put it on the show because we want a million people reading Scripture on this show. That's my goal. All right, we'll take a little break, and we come back. John Bloom from Desiring God will be with us in hour two.
You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. Faith Radio is a media outreach ministry of University of Northwestern St. Paul, and we exist to lead people to Christ and to nurture believers in their faith. Together, we are growing in our faith through shows and programs on Faith Radio. You can find out more about these shows and read relevant articles on topics like relationships, business and finance, biblical studies, and church and culture on our website, MyFaithRadio.com.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at MyFaithRadio.com.